We're learning from Asara from Shmuel Shapira, his biography, and page 95, the fifth chapter. You ever saw the Chafetz Chaim in a real picture? A real picture.
One or two pictures, I think. Yeah. He didn't want himself to think.
He's coming out the door, that's a famous one out there.
It's a very clear one, they cleared it up, they fixed it up.
He didn't want his picture taken, and there was only like two, like this one and one other one he got.
How does that differ from the picture that?
What?
How does that differ? I can barely see it. How does that differ from the regular one?
The regular one, they say it's not real.
Why did there no picture from
that? Yeah, it looks like the one that everyone has.
Yeah.
There's like no one picture one from that.
No one drew it. There was no photo then, 20 years ago.
But they had it. They had it about Tanya. They have it.
This drawing. Tav Reish Ein Dalet, 674, First World War. The Turkish, here in Israel, there was a war of Turkey, fought England. So the Turks, they drafted anyone who lived in the country. And anyone who wasn't, anyone who was from a, what's it called, what do you call it again? Someone who's from the, he's not team, the king has, people of the king are what's considered?
Subjects.
All the subjects from the enemy countries, and also Russia, they sent to Egypt. Rabbi Yosef Kadish, the father of Shmuel's wife, he didn't want to leave the country. He was from Russia. They would have said he was in the Russian army, as we said last time we gave a shir. He didn't want to leave the country, so they were going to send him to Egypt because he was from Russia. So he had to hide. So he hid in the house of a Moshe Yosef Hoffman in the Fafa Dayan, whatever. That he took care of him all the time of the war. Him and his family, he gave them food and everything. And when it became even stronger, we're grabbing people, looking really hard for people who were either not going to the army or from other countries, he fled to the house of Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. Why? Because they weren't allowed to look at his house. Because he was the head of all the Jews from Austria and Hungary. So, according to the Turkish law, they weren't allowed to look in his house. Therefore, he fled to that house. All those years, his wife, Shmuel's mother-in-law, Ruchama Chaya, she lived with the... She gave everything to the family with no money, how much? She provided a little bit of food for everyone. Okay, in 675, the second year of the First World War, of Yosef's family.
It's what, 1915.
Yeah. So, Shmuel's father in law, of Yosef Kadish, his status of citizenship changed. He became a Turkish citizen. And then, because it was long enough in Israel, but it was old enough, too old to go to the army, therefore he was able to leave out. And also, he got a job, he was teaching all the cheders in Yerushalayim. Yeah. And he became, because one of the rabbis that was there, Chaim Yaakov Finkler, Turks killed him. So they got him, Yosef Kadish, to be a rabbi. Ah, no, that because he became a Rebbe, that's why he didn't have to go to the army, not because of his age. Because he became a Rebbe. Someone was a teacher, according to the Turks, didn't have to go to, according to the Turkish law, didn't have to go to the army. And then, in Israel, were born his sons, Yitzchak Zev, Reuben, Shimon Dov, and also his daughter, Frida. Yeah. Who was afterwards the wife of Shmuel Shapira. Haggad of his story. Even though he was a very humble man, very modest, people knew, it was famous, that he was great in the Torah and in England and Israel, he knew everything. Right? In his house, how did they find out after he died more? In his house, they knew also before, but after he died, there was a box they never let anyone write. And everyone look in there. Anyone look in this box. It was a secret. After he died, they opened, and in there, there were books of Kabbalah that I used to learn with Rav Dweik. Right? And for Rav Alfandli, they used to learn all the hidden parts of the Torah. Yeah. Used to get up for Tikkun Chatzot. It wasn't a bus lover, it was a fire. Get up for Tikkun Chatzot, cry, scream, people. People said that the guests that came to Jerusalem didn't know about him. In the middle of the night, there was someone screaming. They thought there was a fire or someone died. They don't know why he's screaming. What's going on? Yeah. He fought against the Zionism and everything that was going on there, and against the Chilulei Shabbat, Shabbos disgraces that were in Jerusalem in those days.
What would happen? This is what, 1913?
And onwards till the States.
20s, 30s.
And 20s and 30s, yeah. They lived also in Batei Machase. That's in the old city. Close to where the parking lot is today. Yeah. As long as there was still spirit in his nose, in his body, right? He still had spirit in him. He served Hashem. In the morning of Shabbos, of Yitzayim et Tammuz, Tavshin Aleph, 1941. He was Niftim. After he died, the Chazon Ish cared very much for his children and to help them a lot and everything. Because he had a keshar with him in Chassar. Afterwards, because of that, there was a big keshar between Rav Shmuel Shapira and the Chazon Ish. So, after Rav Shmuel got close to Chassidus, right, to Breslev, it looked like his chances to find a zivug are even harder than tearing the sea. It's just playing the seed like the Brochu did. Right? And the fact that he was so special beforehand in the Eitz Chaim and all the Gdolim and Eretz Yisrael wanted, so special, and then he felt it's such a low place to be a breast of a chassid, toite chassidim, the dead, they called the dead chassidim because they had a dead Rebbe. Many people told him, "What? How are you going to find a shidduch?" Shmuel said, "Shidduch? It's from Shamayim. It says 40 days before the person's born. It says, back when they're funny. What are they going to do with this? Yeah, how is it going to be? What's it going to do with me? It's his deal. Yeah? I'll stop here and we'll speak tomorrow about how he found the shidduch. I shall tell you that Yosef told me, Weisberg, they went to the Rabbanut, he signed the Rabbanut for Erez, big tzaddik, to be the Tzaddik Kiddushin. So, he needs to sign on paper and bring it to the Rabbanut that he will be. He looks at it, throws it in, and says, "A breast lover? That's what you're giving me?"
That's what he said.
Who said this?
My sister started crying.
Who said this?
Some idiot in the Rabbanut over there.
Who said
a rabbi.
How did he know his breast lover?
It said the name of the Rav that was gonna.
Oh, and he knew the Rav was a Breslov.
Yeah, He was very.
Who did this?
Well, the rabbis and the rabbanut.
I told you it's not. You think it's
so? He tells us, okay, fine, go find a different one. He said, no, I want this rabbi. I want your rabbis. I want my rabbis, not your rabbis.
Well, so he said,
okay, I'll tell you a secret. Whatever, he told him what to do. But he still, he used his rabbi and whatever. They called him. I told Yosef, tell me what I'm going to slap him across the face. If I was there, he said he's clean shaved. I said, that's a good slap if he's clean shaved.
It's not only in all those times, it's today also. There's a whole.
Yeah, but today they're doing it because they're idiots. In those days, they were afraid.
They also knew they're idiots.
No, they weren't because they're idiots. They didn't know. They
were afraid of.
What do you mean? They were afraid. We still learned about this. We said that the Yerushalayim was then, there was a lot of problems because of the Zionism, the communism, and the old isms. If there was anything that was different than what they didn't even check. Different than we don't want. Today,
the
Breslers
were afraid.
No. Yerushalmi, I remember you.
Yeah.
Today is different.
Everyone
knows
the Breslers. What
happened in the end? Yosef? He told them that he could use it, but they have a different rabbi sign. Whatever, whole scam there.
Who did he want?